Okay, so I think that we can begin. So, ladies and gentlemen, so perhaps I will just be speaking loudly. I have a pretty good voice, not destroyed by singing. So, ladies and gentlemen, I come from the milieu of the Academy of Fine Arts, the Department of Architecture in Gdańsk. I have to keep on talking, so if you can perhaps be a little quieter, let me tell you about the genesis of this whole undertaking. I enrolled with the Academy of Fine Arts, and then in the times of socialist realism, can you hear me? It was Jerzy Sołtan together with his grandson, a sculptor, who decided to open up. So, and we dealt with a very broad spectrum. It is said that the more you take, then the less it squeezes, that this matter is untamed, that it can actually threaten with dilettantism. And under the pressure of this threat, a split took place in the academy into different departments were created. First of all, design, understood as interior design, and a group that separated itself, that thought that being dilettant or this threat of dilettantism is possible. And this group created a second department, a competitive department of industrial design or applied design. And this split is still there. I still believed, and I still happen to believe, in the need for some kind of integrity. And these works, after the years that we see here, I call them topological syncretism, namely gluing or binding together inconsistent structural elements and an attempt to have a consensus in between. And based on this particular approach, extreme opinions are given up on, extreme opinions are refuted, and what is chosen is some way in the middle that has to function in the middle somewhere. And it's something that we also know from American Air Force. Then the best pilots and the worst pilots are here. So it meant some kind of a deepened contact with a structure of a visual meaning, emotional meaning, and a paraphilosophical meaning. So that was all by means of introduction. Here at the beginning, let me show you a sketch of my diploma, a mobile pavilion with the use of a spatial variable structure that I did under the supervision of Lech Tomaszewski. And later, after the academy, I had already the possibility in my more experimental work to carry out these concepts of pavilions with the use of a spatial arch. And at that time, I was already attracted by small elements participating in special, smaller commissioned elements. Here is a fragment of this complex concept that I will not discuss here, but in any case, this form that you see here in the middle is a free interpretation of this mobile structure, but already in the form of a sculptural installation. And here you see the use of three structural elements, a huge frame of the Greek type that is composed of the column and the pillars and a foundation at length, a podium, and a structure with variable geometries and two tapes. It's like the Nobis band or the Nobis ribbon, but not classically formed. I see two elements, the red and the green, and these elements generally, by overlapping with each other, give us the color black, an element which is opaque. With external illumination, this whole movement announces itself on the bottom in the form of a stained glass window. And whilst the small sculpture on the right, that by Katarzyna Kobra, is looked at from the outside, and also the sculpture by Lech Tomaszewski, this sculpture here we can simply enter and it surrounds us, and that we can be absorbed by it. And I have called it this, namely, it's a sentence from Ulysses, from Joyce's Ulysses, a monologue by the wife of the main character, and this word of acceptance or consent is extremely important because today we live following negation. We always like to bicker. Every single time there is a difference in opinions, we like to attack each other. And the second word that I've used here is langsam, because I lived in times of occupation when everything was schnell and schneller. So here I've decided to use the word langsam. And the third word is a skurcz, or the tension of the muscles, a cramp. And cramp is a word that appears as an element that we do not actually notice the entire complexity and richness of the world, that we only see a fragment of the world, something that is made available to us via our senses. And here this nervous movement, the nervous movement of the form, quite unexpected and unpredictable, is to touch on these issues, make them known, that we can see something trembling, something in motion, and perhaps it can be a reference to the fact that we are overly brutal in trying to preserve this world, which is perhaps a very delicate structure and can simply fall apart. So we are too brutal, too violent with this world, and it's like a bit of an alert. This form does really have any aesthetic meaning, although it may seem so. So perhaps let us move on. Here we have a classical sculpture that represents Kobro in the world arena and her dance or ribbons, departure from the weight-related sculptures and her move towards spatial forms. Sculptures in space, and here also the geometry of unilateral topological planes, for example the sculpture of Lech Tomaszewski. So as far as this particular matter goes, well, in a summer of a year, some year, I remember Tomaszewski working on his forms. I think that was supposed to be his study as part of his professorship at the Academy of Fine Arts. Perhaps let us move on, or perhaps we can go inside the installation. So let us move on.
Żeby nie zasłonić.
And perhaps let me just add something, that during my honeymoon journey, we went to the south of France, where I visited Matisse's chapel in Saint-Paul-de-Vence, I think. And it was a chapel the size of perhaps this room. On the left side, there was a full-scale stained glass window occupying the entire wall with, on the one hand, with different organic symbols. The floor was all white, and the sun cast a shadow on the floor through the stained glass window. And in the corner, there was a nun sitting from that cluster. And this was quite a big impression. Later on, you will be able to see a token of memory from this particular honeymoon trip, where we were visiting different places. And this trip, I have to say, had this kind of a dimension, because mind you, this was a socialist time here back in Poland. It gave us a contact, a possibility, an opportunity of contact with European art, for example, visiting Berlin's new housing architecture, where it was like a huge exhibition for what was available in terms of modern architecture in the world. Then, of course, the Brandenburg Gate, traveling through it, and the contact with the West, that made a huge impression. And then we went on to Brussels, etc., etc. Let us move on. So, in any case, this shade or this shadow is like a recollection of this moment, the moment of the stained glass window by Matisse. So, I find it a little bit embarrassing speaking in such a formula. Skibniska said that she was an amateur, and perhaps she wanted to draw attention to the fact that she was a woman architect. I don't know, but this is at least what I heard. At least she had this civil courage, and it was really serious on her part, that she indeed had a rich interest in other fields of humanities, and she only expressed them via architecture. But she was a full personality in terms of the humanities. Such as Sirkusova, she also graduated university, and she created those so-called social housing projects, Brukarscy, or the Brukarskis, the same. Here, ladies and gentlemen, we have a tiny project that I first did at the Academy of Fine Arts under Professor Ignatowicz. It was on the basis of the Skarżewski Park, with the track field where Kusociński would run, and next to it the Academy of Fine Arts, and also the Department of Artistic Research, where we would simply strip to our underpants and run across this park to the Piaseczyński Canal for a dip in the water. And it was in that cliff, or by that cliff, that I performed this small project. This small structure in the park, a cafe, quite squatting, if you will, very low. So the view was at the level of the grass, so that we can actually observe the beetles and all the other insects in that grass. It was an approach that I had not expected, but it turned out that at the end of my life, I ended up teaching at the Academy of Farming and Agriculture, among beetles and all such. So it's a simple design. It's a concrete pyramid, very pro forma. But it's got a touch of Egypt, a touch of concrete, a touch of a glass in the concrete. glass and concrete to me is something absolutely fantastic, something that I'd not have yet been able to design throughout my life, but this is something that I long for. So a small cafe, Ignatovich made wonderful corrections, my professor, because he was a man from the East. And I really do owe a lot to him. He was extremely modest, but he spoke a lot about Russia and about all those customs there, the saunas, etc. For example, the village was uphill, downhill was a stream, and the saunas were by the stream. There was a circulation between taking a dip in the cold stream after the sauna and then returning to the village uphill. So I really, I'm quite grateful and have really learned a lot also because he was a great visualist, and that was sort of the beginning. Then I came to the conclusion, I spoke to him and I asked him, Professor, could I at least perhaps design a toilet or something? And he said, no, absolutely not. So I said, oh, you son of a gun. So I'm going off to the technical university to study, because I see here that if I study at this university here, I stand no chance. But now, with my life coming to an end, and now that he's dead, I now know why he ever said it. He was also told this by Le Corbusier when he was in a studio. And Le Corbusier said, boys, you've learned what you had to learn from me, get the hell out of here. And he chucked them all out. And so he did too, had to come back to Poland. So this very cruel gesture also has a positive dimension. You've matured, please, now your time. Yes, just a few words, because I don't want to describe everything, but this is the Marseille's block and the roof, a kindergarten with a view to the hills on the one hand, and the other side with a view to the Mediterranean. So the kids are not stuck in some cubes, but are taught to look at the beautiful, magnificent landscape, seeing on the one hand the snow-covered mountains and on the other side hot sea. So this is the poetics that Le Corbusier fought for. Sultan called it en disciple, seeking this element. Denis Krulikovsky has formalized it more today, calling it the seeking for the spirit of the place. And you can have a classical spirit of the place, classical, romantic, like the English park based, or the cosmic. So these are the issues that have to be done, made of different materials, brick, steel, whatever. But this longing for being in touch with a spirit, a guardian spirit perhaps, is still there. So this is the Marseille project, then Belgium and the Netherlands, learning about the culture of how to live below the sea level. The sea keeps on assaulting, attacking, and they keep on regaining land by pumping out water with windmills. So a certain heroism of a small nation, if you will. And somewhere here, I'd also like to draw your attention to this chapel, yeah, Matisse's chapel. This is what I was talking about. This is the nurse. And I think that this is the stained glass window. It was a shocking impression because the nun is sitting there with her head down, and this color from the stained glass window this cast that was a shock and stayed with me the entire life. Absolutely fantastic. What else? Brussels, the pavilion by Le Corbusier, fantastic. It's the electronic poem, a pavilion pretty much the size of this hall. The walls, rough, with a projection of the fate of people together with the explosions, the cataclysms. Fantastic, quite fantastic. Here we see Calder's sculptures, La Tourette, the Dominican monks' monastery in construction. We went into the construction site and we sent out photographs. That's how Le Corbusier knew that his students were actually following him closely. Here I would like to welcome Piotr, who is the head of the Modern Art Foundation and who is one of the very important persons here who have decided and who's made it possible for me to be here today with you and talk to you. I'm an art collector and, say, art activist. Here is a module which is half empty, half full. It's a matter which derives from Malevich's concept of the square on a plane, only reinterpreted into a spatial form. Now, the significance is such that we have a material element in this and space which penetrates it, free space. It's like the cosmos permeates this matter constructed, and it was an initiative by Piotr to actually make it in a solid form. So once I'm cremated, there are some traces of me left. Perhaps we will make a negative of that, namely a Greek cross in the same form, which will be the reverse of that. The the middle or the inside will be a cross, and it will be a couple, a man and a woman, lady and a gentleman. Here is the concept, I think 1989, first competition in Free Poland. 1989, there was a competition held for the district center of Warsaw together with Jan Gotz in Brussels. We've decided to go into that. And when in Brussels, we also... there was also another design by Białyszew and Skopiński, and we showed them our design, they showed them hers, and they asked us to take it on in the car and take it to the competition, and they got the first award. Our design was left unnoticed. But these concepts were very diverse. They proposed a ring, a circle around the Palace of Culture, where the Palace of Culture would be in the very center as a monocentric element. And the concept of that project was also monocentric, was sort of subordinate to the palace itself, whereas our design was polycentric, in line with Shagraf's Woods concept, a theoretician of architecture, who proposed the concept of polycentrism and spatial management, which would be in line with the spirit of democracy. And in our design, we tried to inbuilt this palace, make it a fragment of a structure which is based on the existing system and arrangement of streets, and propose, say, an equivalent of an urban 19th century 19th century urban tissue. This was the origin of the design. Now, of course, this is just a certain diagram, which, if it was ever to be realized, would simply be reshaped. However, the restitution of the existing streets here seems to us absolutely inevitable, because the Germans had wanted to get rid of all of this, of our entire culture, intentionally and purposefully destroy it, burn it, etc. So to an effect, it was necessary. In terms of how the Palace of Culture is treated here, we've only cut off the two theaters, Studio and Shinness Theater, and also the museums and the sports center. We've cut this all off from the palace so as to be able to get a relatively wide walkway. Now, this work has not been noticed, but it is in the competition catalog. There were some 350 different designs sent in from the entire world. I have kept this model as long as I could, the maquette. And this was our last or the penultimate effort in terms of the next design for Warsaw, for the Museum of Modern Art. We went bankrupt. We made 15 big designs in Syria, the parliament, the center in Warsaw, a university in Calabria, military cemeteries in Katyn, Miednoye, and Kharkiv, etc. I don't know, 10 or maybe 15 designs, and none of them were ever taken into consideration. So having been an architect, it turned to me, or it dawned on me, that perhaps this type of a broad education or broad pedagogy is not exactly effective. Maybe. Maybe or maybe not. Whatever. Let's leave it with a question mark. I personally, however, feel that without this broad education, I would not be able to do anything reasonable as a free specializing person only knowing how to build. So I think that I would be lacking something. I would be lacking elements of the supra construction, which is absolutely necessary in architecture. Perhaps let's move on. Yes, we did get a recognition for getting a recognition that's even worse than a failure. We have Mr. Zabłocki, the fencer, so he knows what a total failure it is to be number four. So the next or another competition that we've lost, we've decided to go for the Sevilla World Expo, the Belgium Pavilion, two elements intertwined, two squares intertwined, symbolizing the two Belgian nations intertwined. And this form is in the form of cranes on horizontal vertical telescopes. This had been consulted with a crane specialist in Germany, crane company in Germany. And there were also bridges constructed or included. And here we've actually made a success, because somebody said that our model, the maquette that we made, was so pretty. So it happened to me the second time when at the academy I designed also a piece of furniture, an armchair or a chair that too was lost. So this was my second life success.
Proszę Państwa, teraz, jeżeli można, to tutaj troszkę
No
nie może być za poważnie, prawda, bo wtedy to...
We cannot make it too serious. Here on the left, we see that after the interior design, I tried specializing in exhibition making, and we started making exhibitions. Who's we? He said, we started making exhibitions. I and my wife, of course. As a couple, we started creating exhibitions for the Chamber of Foreign Industry. Here is one concept, a special concept that we did for Poznan that I think was even given some small award. And then another pavilion in Brussels, etc. So all of these activities are related to exhibition making. This is also a question of getting experience, finding what opportunities, creative opportunities there are. But at one point in time, it just dawned on me that I don't want to do it anymore. And I stopped any exhibition-related activities, and I switched to installations that we will soon see. Now, another competition on this side. So here, this was an idea for an Italian competition for the development of southern Italy, Sicily, and Calabria. This is Cosenza, the town of Cosenza in Calabria, where they organized an international competition for a design of university. The organizer of the competition had a north-south plot of land along the Del Sole motorway and railway line, and we did a project which was perpendicular to that across the mountains and perpendicularly to the sea, thinking that all the departments of the university will find their own organically suitable places. That, for example, if these will be sociology, department of sociology, they will be closer to the city. So this university was organically pre-planned for reason of the nature of this cross-section, if you will, between the sea and the mountains. So here the structure of the pavilion is in the form of a viaduct. Zdzisław Kwilecki made the pictures of that, very difficult because it was a scale of 1 to 200. It's huge, from like this wall to me. This is a layout, I think also on the scale 1 to 2000, where you can see the relief. So we did things that were in contrast to the terms of the competition, like idiots. Well, that's too bad. Too bad, because it seemed to us a beautiful idea. And so these are the dilemmas that sometimes we ourselves cut our wings, or cut our veins, or cut the branch on which one sits. Here it was, I think, 1975. Stanisław Jankowski, a well-known Polish guerrilla fighter in Second World War, was nominated the commissioner of a huge exhibition summing up the post-war artistic achievements of Poland. It was supposed to be situated in the Palace of Culture, in all of the halls and in the area around the palace. I was proposed or offered a piece of land by the palace, and I developed the first concept that threatened that probably would paralyze the entire traffic in the main Warsaw street. So the Urban Commission or Urban Planning Commission, they proposed that I carried out this exhibition in a similar form but elsewhere in the Piłsudski Square. And this is the result of this work. And the layouts that I prepared together with the students of the Academy of Fine Arts. The structure is composed of three elements: a black space from the side of Grand Theater. So these were three stage design sets pertaining to events immediately after the work, one by Zosia Panasiuk, Rafał Wiktoś, the central one, like the destroyed industrial plant, and the third part was a huge city plan filled with ruins. Music to the black part was composed by Bogdan Mazurek from the Polish radio, and this middle picture photograph, which is a little darker, shows more or less the mood of the situation. People would go there at night to just listen to the music and see the light. I know that a bum even decided to make his shelter there and live there. Technically, we used an old military bridge, 250 meters long. The whole square, Piłsudski Square, was restructured using its layout, and reconfiguring the traffic, the car traffic. This traffic creates an entirely new space. Why? Well, the philosophical concept was to regroup contacts between people, or interpersonal contacts. For this regrouping to take place, the square had to be simply restructured, transformed, so that it had a phenomenal dimension and not a useful function. Andrzej Osenka wrote an article then, Smokes Over the Square of Victory, that we were pulled out of the mundane onto a higher level. I had not known Andrzej Osenka then, but when I read this article, I said I wanted to get to meet him, because what he wrote was my first impulse, that via this design I wanted to get people out of the everyday, which was perhaps too gray. So that this, my first point of assumption would be, or this whole set of my initial assumptions was very much in line with the thoughts of Andrzej Osenka. Upon seeing this, somebody said, "Well, you can now die." Here we have design sketches. From the left to that design, and a final drawing. So perhaps let's move on, or not. There is yet another project or design that I made. This was a diploma at the school, for the technical school. The Technical Polytechnic, the Technical University, evolving individual house. This is what you see on the wall back there. It's a house that is transforming itself together with the structure of the family. And there you have a situation, say a family is of seven members. You have the grandparents, two people, right, a couple. You have the parents, two. so that's 2 plus 2, plus 2 children, and say a servant. So all in all, that's 7 people. But you can also have 7 people in a different arrangement, 1 plus 1 plus 1. Say the grandparents had divorced, the husband and wife had divorced, and they have 2 different wives or husbands. The children are in different ages. So though there is the same number, we have a totally different need to organize the family life. And Sylwia Dobrowolska told me about it from the Institute of Applied Art, and I based my work on her knowledge, on this information that she shared with me. I think I understood as much as I could. Maybe I simplified it a bit, but this was the point of departure. Not only that this house individually evolving was something that I decided. Of course, it was completely unnoticed at the exhibition. I sent off the big maquettes or models, but then I returned to it, to an effect. When I studied at the Polytechnic, I decided to go for it and offered a supplementary structure, if you will. I think that in peripheral housing districts, such as the Otwocka Belt, it's like the suburbs, small houses built along the railway line, or in Venice when the water goes up in certain emergency situations, so perhaps it would be possible to add such a structure, or perhaps in a situation when there was an Olympic Games, such a housing structure could be added for housing purposes mainly. And this is transformable as a part of this entire assumed a level of air volume. So that's what it looked like, more or less. You also see the technical drawing. It's along the metro line and the Kabatsky Forest. But it's only a supplementary structure to what is at the bottom. Not as a full equipment of urban structure, it's just an additional element, say, giving more saturation to the metro line, helping rational transportation service, because I think that what we have now in existence is too weak. So, more or less. Sometimes it's good to propose something which doesn't make sense, but at one moment, like in Venice, when the water goes up, such things can actually be useful. And by the way, the water goes up due to the anthropomorphic activities. And such devices can actually come in handy, as unreasonable as they may seem now. You never know. You never know whether you do something reasonably or not. I never know. And finally, let's move, and this will be the last. Oh yeah, just a small piece of the exhibit. It's where the cinemas are in the Palace of Culture. I was commissioned to make an exhibition of Warsaw photographers after or under the title Warsaw Plein Air. And I used regular cardboard in which I placed the photographs with micro loudspeakers with music, and this was lit from these pillars that were split, that had split bottoms, or tops rather, and the light would be cast on the ceilings, giving quite an impressive view. And of course, we had to lift it up a bit so that it wouldn't catch on fire. And to that, I also designed a poster, a classical man in a red frame, within a red frame, that red frame being our limitation, with a huge cosmic space beyond that red frame. That was the sense of the poster, that after all, we all live framed or within a frame. And that would be our small poster-based conspiration. I'm sorry, conspiracy. And now perhaps let me begin with what the curators actually found. At one point in life, I lived in I had this situation, I had this experience. As a child, after the Warsaw Uprising, I was sent off to Denmark to rest after these pyrotechnical developments. And the train arrived by the sea in the morning, and I saw the sea in the form of a vertical lead-like wall. The way that the light shone on the sea was such that I saw the sea as a wall. And I told the curators that. And since I also made this picture, they've decided to take this picture and show it to you. So that's the situation. So this syncretism is based a bit on the fact that if one sees something, then it's all stored, backed up in the head. I do that, and I wait for a moment where I can actually make use of that. All the tiny bits and pieces are sooner or later made useful, because I see that all these things have a purpose, only that I may be lacking these different pieces of the puzzle. But then they seek each other, look for each other, somehow magnetically, to come into contact and make their presence known. Here at one point in time, I think it was 1985, I was sort of moved or inclined a bit to commemorate. I went to Director Jaskanis at the Ministry of Culture and Art after or on the anniversary of the Warsaw Uprising, and I asked him that I wanted to make this flowing fabric on sticks over the Pilsudski Square, and what do you think about this? And Jaskanis, his reaction was quite unbelievable, because he gave me a stipend of something like 100,000 Polish zloty that was then transferred to the Association of Polish Composers, and I was given a curator, musicologist Józef Putkowski, and I began a study together with Wiesław Słowik from the Warsaw Polytechnic. I approached the department for the design of construction. The professor says, Wiesław, come over here. This is a guy has just come. You have to help him. And this is how my partnership with Słowik began in terms of construction. So the installation at the beginning that you saw was also made with the aid of Wiesław Słowik, and also the structure on the square. The fabric, that's silk, parachute silk, 3,200 meters square of silk. And I have to say that and this was my second project in the Piłsudski Square, and I have to say that studies were made in aerodynamics at the Institute of Aviation, calculations, etc., what different forces will up here, and they have sealed this project. The governor of the province sealed off this project, and then this whole stage of actually putting this up, putting this on with the help of the military. There was this old Jew, I remember, walking around in the vicinity of the university. He was quite well known, and he came to me and he says, "So what are you doing? You should be doing a Geschäft." And then he left. Geschäft meaning business in Yiddish. So instead of doing this, you should be doing business. So I felt quite honored, frankly speaking, by this comment. And there was a group working, a group of students from the Cervantes School working on this. My son attended that school too. They made a whole series of sculptures in wood too. The sticks, they brought these from the forestry of Głęboki Brud in the Suwałki region up north. Józef Patkowski, the one that you see here on the left in the glasses, he was a curator of this exhibition. He's passed away now, but he was my great, great friend. There was also a storm once, and this huge fabric had to be restitched and then put up again. And that's pretty much it. There is a whole number of smaller designs that I made. I always made designs to the biennial in Osaka in Japan. I actually won and I went to Japan. There are also some sketches, some topological swimming pools, etc., etc. But I mean, these are all minor elements. Perhaps I will stop describing it all now. It doesn't really make any use. Here we have a hotel for people who survived a marine catastrophe, a marine disaster like a tsunami. That this form, it actually moves itself against the wave, creating a safe bay, and in these tubes on the subsequent levels there are rooms for the survivors. They can be shipped here on motorboats, etc. I also sent that to Japan before the tsunami, unfortunately, because I always thought that these disasters, they're constantly in circulation, so that perhaps such designs could actually be made useful here or there, but that's naivete. It's my naivete for you. I am naive, as any designer is, that I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I think it's useful, and it's an idea that I had. I've had many, many competitions, and I finally won. I went to Japan, I visited Kyoto, and then I quickly returned to Warsaw. What else? What else? Oh yeah, there you have drawings, technical drawings of that cloud, the nebulous. Yeah. I was once invited, because I've visited Oronsko a number of times, where the Center for Polish Culture is located, and the organizers of that exhibition, that particular exhibition, they organized a symposium together with the School of Agriculture. I think I had already been retired, and they invited me. And I thought to myself, well, what am I going to say to them if I go? I had this cloud in sacks at home, quite heavy, but I put one of the sacks into my little Fiat and I went to the symposium. I arrived, it was late autumn. I took this bag out of the car there's this whole place of, there's this quarry, a quarry that is used by the sculptors who come there to make sculptures. And they put that silk, that fabric over the quarry, and the wind started blowing, so it started waving. Then it was covered with snow. Then I took it into the palace. I put it on the stairs. I dried it, etc. And I think that this was a moment in which I thought that perhaps I could travel around with these fabrics around the world, like in Carrara, where I could actually put hooks in the quarry walls and put this fabric all over different places that I would simply want. And if, for example, I was invited on to a yacht across the Mediterranean, and if they accepted my sacks with the fabric and all the mountain climbing equipment, that I would love to go to Carrara or any other place, really. This is 1,800 meters square, by the way, this particular fragment which is exposed here. I have three more in my studio, and they're still waiting to stretch out their wings. What else we have here? These are the drawings of the cloud. This is the stand, once it's been corrected by Słowik, also with sticks. I remember when they asked me to the forestry, and they showed me these huge logs, and I said, come on, I don't want logs, I wanted to poles or sticks. And he said, no problem, we'll get you new ones. So they did. And I had to prepare all this myself for the exhibition. I had nobody to help me because we ran out of money. So I had to cut this, saw it, etc. Here is a concept of a bridge for countries, for places such as Venice, where there are canals or channels. It's like a little icebergs floating on the water, but linked with a chain underneath. So they are like a bridge. But if a motorboat comes, then these icebergs are simply pushed apart. And that vessel can actually sail through. So it can serve as a bridge, but it can at any time, this bridge, be or this bridge at any time can actually separate so that a vessel can sail through. This was also sent to Osaka and was not noticed. What else do we have? Here we have another topological form, small scale, which I think is a destruct or a remnant of destruction. But the curator, Madame Curator Kucewicz, she decided to have it here. I buy stockings, and the salesperson, I remember it was a story behind it when I was trying to buy stockings, and that took ages to choose them, and the salesperson was really, really surprised. And here is a fragment of an installation that I did in the Jedwabne, where Jews were burnt in a pogrom. I rented a house in that village. I cleaned it all up, and I put in heads sewed into this fabric in the number of the persons burnt, 200 something people. And at night, the locals came asking me, what are you doing? And I say, what if I tell you, will you understand? That's true. You're right. We're not going to understand. So they left me. And I thought to myself, we're definitely going to put my house on fire. So I was left there. I remained there for the night. I only opened up the second door to the barn, got in a car until the early morning hours. But I think I was oversensitive because nobody came to harm me. But in the morning, the police came over and told me to get rid of all of this. That I did this on a voluntary basis. I had no certificates or a promise or permissions, so that I had to take all of this. Up there is the building of my studio in Skrzypki. Oh yes, and this is the origins or the genesis of the cloud. I built the studio myself, and you can see myself building the foundations. The foundations and the first layer of the bricks. But since it's a situation like in the Japanese film, that here we have sand and it's really, really hot. And I had some contacts in the plane club. I bought two parachutes and I stretched it over the construction. And then I noticed the waving of the fabric, and that was the genesis of this structure, this waving that is never ending. I say that I have an atrocious memory of everything, and perhaps it was a false but very strong idea of syncretism, which I only formulated later, of gluing together the contradictions. But certain things are glued together in the cosmos, in the universe. On the ground, you cannot glue them together, you cannot combine them, but they do come together out there in space. That seemingly it is not possible to develop a consensus and put an end to the war, but perhaps it is possible if we change our approach, which is not as extreme, if we simply dull and blunt our expectations, give up on our idiotic expectations. The weapon is too strong to use it for war purposes. And if that has, if this was simply in the form of swords, then no problem. But now, if all you need is one bomb to destroy the whole of Europe, then it's really not worth it. It is simply absurd. Thank you. This is an installation that I did with Jan Gotz in my studio, the extension of space, the entire studio, and the extreme ends of the studio. You have the logs visible or permeating their tops. Painted white, and you can see them coming out of the studio as if in a corridor. It was my first project in a big scale once I've reconstructed the studio. And here I'm working on a big scale painting, murals that you can see also in my studio walls that supplement the rest. And this is the layout of my studio in Skrzypki. So on the one hand, you have the entrance and you have the kitchen, and then you have the studio, and you have the three modules of the different rooms, also covered with a mezzanine. So a very simple system, and not are uncomposed, but only made up of two full blocks with a passageway in the middle across the studio. And here we have some technical drawings that I did already at the Academy of Agriculture. This was the river Świder and the course of the river Świder. Well, these are sort of minor designs. Here is a swimming pool, in part open, in part roofed. Tomaszewski had this lecture at the Academy that topology, if topology cannot be applied in life or architecture, or that topology cannot be applied in life or architecture, and I wanted to contradict him, so I actually made this project. And when he came over to visit us once, I showed him this, and he was really shocked, and he said, this is indeed the first ever use of topology in architecture ever. A half-open, half-roofed swimming pool. So when you have good weather, this is what it looks like. But if the weather conditions change and deteriorate, then the second layer, which is submerged here, goes up, is lifted up, and covers up the pool, and it's the same water regardless of whether it's open or closed. It's not flushed in the toilet, it's still used in circulating. I've really kind of abused your patience, so thank you very much.